Colossians chapter number 2. Now, if you remain standing, grab your Bibles. Colossians chapter number 2 this evening. I'll read one verse for you, and then we'll begin reading responsively in verse number 13. We'll read down through verse number 20. I'll read one verse and then verse number 13.
Colossians chapter 2.
Down through verse number 20. Colossians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 13. I'll be there in just a second. I'll read one verse other than that for you. Verse number 8. Colossians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I'll read verse 13, then you'll join me on verse 14. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered and knitted together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? And we'll pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Well, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the relationship that you desire to have with us on a personal level. Lord, we appreciate being in church. Lord, we've spent many hours this week praying for our families, praying for our church. We've spent many hours working and preparing for today. We've enjoyed that time together. But now we're here as one unit, as a church, to hear the man of God preach a truth that's been laid on his heart. And I'd ask that you'd fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we listen, would you guide our minds? Would you touch our hearts where necessary? We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open there to Colossians 2. We're going to use them in just a little while, but let me have your attention. It does not take a rocket scientist to see that this old world's not getting better and better. It seems like it's getting more violent, more volatile, and more ridiculous every day. There seems to be less tolerance for truth than ever before. We have a selfish, violent, vile, nasty world, and it's not just in America. I said our world. Our world is sin-sick. The vileness of this world is unbelievable. We live in the instant information age, with computers, smartphones, and social media, and the United States media. We see what others want us to see of the world. Key statement. We see what others want us to see, seemingly as it happens. Here's the fact. Who's controlling the information going out? Who's controlling that information that's going out? This instant information, we have no idea who's putting it out there, but we see it and we think that it's automatically the truth. Can I tell you something? Just because it's on the news or on Facebook, it doesn't mean that it's the truth. We think because we see something or read something that it's fact. And the problem is this, we don't research it to find out if it's fact or not. Here's something I want you to hear very carefully. We trust fast or convenient information without verifying the truth. Truth takes time. Truth takes time. Just because they show you a picture doesn't mean they showed you everything. And in an age where you can computerize anything, you're not even sure you saw what really happened. Fast information in Google doesn't mean you have accurate information. May I teach you something? Usually fast information means disinformation. Most always. You men in the military, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been in battle or difficult situations and you're reporting back, initial reports don't mean everything is quite as it looks. It takes a while to get all the information, assimilate it, turn around, and make decisions. You don't make it off of one bit of information. You have to get many bits of information, put it all together to get a clearer picture. Truth takes time. I want to live life based on truth, not misinformation. I want to fill my mind with truth. I hold in my hands the only real truth this world has,
yes, sir.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Please don't get upset with me as I say some harsh things tonight. But all other information is based on sinful man, not Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I don't trust NBC, CBS, MSNBC, ABC, BVD, or anything else. I don't trust Fox totally. I don't trust any social media. I don't trust the media. I don't trust any of that. I've said it for years. Whatever the media says, believe the opposite, and you're going to be pretty close to the truth. Even what we see is put out by sinners, and our eyes are sinful also. Well, I saw this, okay, but that doesn't mean that you saw things right either. You saw one part of it and don't see the whole thing. You see, we drown in information while we thirst for wisdom. We have a nation and a world that is drowning in information, but they are starved and thirsty for wisdom and truth. We are watching the devil take control of the world. He is setting the stage for Antichrist. Disinformation. In a world where people think that that information is truth. Everybody doing okay? Satan has used the same four tools throughout history. And it has taken him millenniums to get to the point where the world is dumb enough to accept it.
Right.
And I'm going to show you what those four tools are. And then I'm going to show you what God says about it. And then we're going to the house. Number one, here are the four tools that Satan uses as power to rule the world. Number one, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8 with me again. Beware lest any man spoil you through, what's the first word?
Philosophy.
Now we're going to stop with that. Philosophy. Philosophy is the study of thought, the study of man's thinking. May I say something to you? Don't study philosophy. That's one sinner trying to outthink another sinner. And usually, two sinners competing for thought means you're going down, not up.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Public education today is philosophy, not truth.
That's right.
Public education has nothing to do with truth. It has everything to do with philosophy. Let's not teach our children to read with phonics. Let's teach them to memorize sight words instead. And now we graduate, and 60% of the high school graduates cannot read past the second grade level. Period. If I handed them a Bible, most of them couldn't even sound out the words to get through it because they've never seen those words. Of bless God, at Grace Baptist Church School, they're learning phonics. They're going to learn how to read. They're going to learn how to write. They're going to learn that 2 + 2 = 4, not 5 or 3. And if it is, then it's wrong. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and it doesn't change. Say why? Because it's not about philosophy. It's not about what man thinks. It's about what truth is. You see, man thinks we should all think the same way. Well, preacher, don't you believe in unity? I believe in unity and harmony, but I don't believe in unification. Amen. Unification is Marxism, communism, and Nazism. That means everybody should be of the same class and the government tells you what you should do. It's not fair that somebody makes more money than somebody else, so let's take it from the rich and give it to the poor. The people that don't do anything will take it from people that do everything, and I think that's wrong. Amen. I think we need to wipe out the IRS and make America pay tithe in taxes. Pay tithe to God, and America would be free financially, and so would God's work. Whether you make $500 a year or you make $5 million a year, 10% tax, no deductions, pay it, you're done. And by the way, you'd be happier too. Amen. Get rid of all the stupid gas tax and this tax and the excise tax and the car tax and the boat tax and the rain tax and the bird tax and the manure tax and the cow fart tax and all those things. If we would get rid of, do you realize 85% of your mortgage taxes and your land taxes in Berkeley County go to public education? And yet people are dumb enough to vote for a higher tax for building for the schools. Well, it's about the kids, preacher. You want those creeps continuing? We want to impress each other with how much we think we know. The world wants to program people into one way of thinking and get rid of individuality that God gave us. Please listen to this very carefully here. And I know this statement will shock you. I'm a bit stubborn. I know that's hard to believe. But you know, I don't require people who work with me to think my way. You men on the board, before you came on, I looked at you, pointed my finger in your face and said, don't be a yes man. I need truth. I don't need you to tell me what I want to hear. I need truth. I need to know what you're thinking. That's my son, but he's my assistant pastor. When it comes to church work, I don't tell him how to think. I don't ask him what he's going to preach while I'm gone, like I did this last Wednesday. A lot of times he'll say, preacher, this is what, is this, I don't even look at it. I look at the title and say, ooh, that's going to be, glad I'm not going to be there. but I threw on him last minute that we were going to be in Texas with my wife's brother-in-law dying. I said, are you going to be in town? Is this going to be okay for you? He said, that's why I'm here. I said, no, I don't want you hurting your schedule to do it. I'm going to be gone in May for a couple days to preach in Ohio. I asked him 6 months in advance if he would be available for those dates, and if not, I'd take care of it. I don't tell him what he's doing. Everybody doing okay? I know that might be a shock to some of you, but I'm his boss. I'm not his dictator. I don't ask people to think exactly like I think. Matter of fact, the world would be a pretty bad place if everybody thought the way I did. Shut up. By the way, the world would be pretty nasty if it was everybody thought your way too. I'd clean this thing up. Yeah, everybody would be just like you and nobody could handle that. There wouldn't be a world left. We need to remember that God made us as individuals. We all have a different perspective. You know that a good leader will ask the perspective of followers because followers have a better perspective of some things than the leader does. Doesn't mean they have all the answers, but at least they'll listen to what's happening on farther down the road from them that they can't see or touch themselves. I don't require Mrs. Barnes to think like me. Okay, I'm going to tell on her. We've had nothing but trouble with that stupid baptistry water for 3 years. I've tried everything. And about 2 weeks ago, I said, God, it's not that hard. It was about 6 o'clock one morning. I'm walking through. I looked at that stuff and said, it's not that hard, God. Fire requires water, fuel, and air. I don't need the fuel. I don't need the fire. Air. I said, well, we circulate the water because we heat it. But I realized it's a sealed circulation system. That water wasn't getting any air. Duh. Mrs. Barnes got to work. I said, you ain't going to understand this. I just need you to trust me. I need you to find me a little fish tank air pump that has two hoses and 4-inch stones on it. I'm going to put it in the baptistry. She said, what for? I said, that water's not getting any air. She said, don't you, we can get a big one for, you know, I don't need a big one. I just got to put some air in the water. She ordered it. Came a few days later. We stuck that stupid thing in the water. Checked it an hour later, and it was as clear as it came out of the tap. I thought, 3.5 years. I've beaten my head against the wall, and all I need is a $15 air pump. She said, preacher, I've learned not to question you sometimes, but I thought you were nuts. I said, well, I could have told you. You didn't have to think it. I already know I am, but... She said, there ain't no way that should have worked. But I've learned not to say that. It worked. I don't expect everybody to think my way. Every once in a while, I'm just going to say, we're going to do this. I've spent money on chemicals. We've done this. We've done that. We've tried this. We've tried that. I've tried everything. And the whole problem was no air. You say, that's kind of silly, preacher. Might be, but I don't expect everybody to think the way I think. Be careful in the home. You don't expect people to think exactly as you think. Men and women never think the same. And when they do, that's why you have the alphabet soup crowd. You have a man trying to think like a woman and a woman trying to think like a man. I'll borrow a term from Brother Hiles. Fellas, quit expecting your wife to think like a man. That's how the sodomites think. You married her because she's a woman, not because you wanted her to think like a man. He used to call them mental homosexuals. And in some ways, he was right. I don't expect my wife to think like me. Thank God she's a woman. I didn't want to marry a hairy-legged, ugly man. Had no desire. Lord have mercy. I wanted to marry somebody different. Can I tell you something? That means they're going to have different thoughts. I don't require people. That's what philosophy is. Philosophy says, well, that's why when you go to the doctor, it drives me nuts. Well, if you don't fall within these lines, then you're not normal. Every person's different. Throw those things out the door. Well, those of you new mommies. Well, my child's not developing right. They're not falling between. Shut up. Go back and look at the family history. You'll find out it's right in line with the way all of them grew up for the last 300 years. That's what genetics are. This is why education, God's way, goes so contrary to the world. Education is to be based on truth, not philosophy. It's to be based on truth, not feeling. It's to be based on truth, not how does this affect you. The world's based education is on philosophy and feeling. If you saw the homework going home from the public schools, Johnny, how does this make you feel? How does this story make you feel? Those are the questions, not the facts. Number two, I got to hurry. So, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit. The word vain deceit means empty or misleading arguments. I.e., the United States media. Our media is nothing but vain deceit. Russia collusion. January 16th coup. Everybody doing okay? How about Hunter Biden? Oh, we can't do that. That's not fair. Don't pick on the president's family. Look what you did to the last guy. Social media of today is vain deceit. I don't have Facebook or I don't even know what the other ones are. I don't have any of that. But when people have enough time to sit there and tell you what they're eating for dinner and take pictures of it and tell you when they're going to the bathroom and when they get back and what happened while they're there and, you know, get a life. Good night. You know, people say, "Preacher, I heard this." My first question is always this: where did you hear that? Facebook. And you believe it? Should I not? No. vain deceit. That's the liberalism and the CRT and the sexism of today. Vain deceit. Vain deceit is the rewriting of history since the 1960s. Folks, we have rewritten American history to the point where people don't know the truth of American history. We have senior citizens or nearly senior citizens, people in my generation who do not even know what the truth of American history is because they believed all the poison from the public education. They believed Hollywood. Oh, these people were racists. I'm not afraid to say some things. I think the governor of California needs hung up for treason, strung up, and beat to death. Slowly. He wants to give $350,000 checks to every black person for slavery reparations. May I say something? Just because you're black doesn't mean you're a slave descendant. That's a fact. How about the black people who owned slaves during slavery? Everybody doing okay? Now, wait a minute. They want to call me a racist because I preach against Obama. But paying everybody $350,000 because of the skin color is not racism? And you can't prove that your ancestors were slaves? And you don't have to prove it? I have a problem with that. I have a problem paying somebody $350,000 for something that was 150 years ago that you had no control over nor had anything to do with it. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
All right, hang on. this is the liberal lawyers and judges of our day saying that wrong is right and right is wrong. The world's we're gonna run out of clean water and we're gonna run out of food and we're gonna run out of oil and we're gonna run out of coal and we need to come to alternative. Folks, the world produces oil. We can't pump it out fast enough and it's bubbling up into the oceans.
Yep.
Go along the Gulf and look at all the oil that leaks up. And it's not from the oil rigs. It's coming from the bottom of the ocean because we're not getting it out fast enough. Oh, we might hurt the little fishies. Well, I'd rather hurt the little fishies than pay higher fuel bills. Sorry, little fishies got a lot of water to swim in. They can move. Everybody doing all right? I mean, I'm having fun tonight. Next, look, the traditions of men. Religion. It means, the traditions of men means religion, patriotism, or doing your best. Most religion is man telling God how God must accept man. Well, God, I'm going to pray through Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, which is blasphemy. Hello. Or we'll pray to the saints. Worship of angels. Everything about the Catholic Church we read in these verses, verses 13 through 19. Judaism is wrong. Notice what God said. Blotting out, verse 14, handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, that took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What was that? Having spoiled principalities, powers, he made to show them openly. And he talks about, verse 18, let no man beguile your reward in voluntary. Or verse 16, let no man judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or a new moon, or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. Those were pictures of Jesus coming. He already came. Don't argue over what people eat. Amen. Pork's okay. Was at the farm yesterday, and Bill butchered two hogs. Gave me a couple packs of sausage and gave me a something to take to Jennifer, and some of you wouldn't like it, so she gave me a big old pack of scrapple. Boy, that's good stuff. Man, that's good stuff. Don't get any of that on your forehead. Your tongue will slap your brains out, what's left of them, to get to it, amen? Oh, preacher, yeah, I couldn't do that. That's a dirty animal. You've never seen a slaughterhouse then. It's amazing to me who won't eat a pig, but they'll eat a hot dog. I grew up next to Sugardale, I had to drive past the Sugardale hot dog factory to get to school every day. I've been on a tour through the Sugardale factory. That's where they slaughter hogs or cows, and all the inside pieces that fall out, that they don't use, that fall on the ground, that they wander in knee deep. They shove them down in this big grinder, slurry it up, and shove it into tubes, and they call it hot dogs. If you only saw what goes into a hot dog, you'd never put another one in your mouth. And I guarantee you wouldn't eat it raw. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. We think that our good can be good enough. We think if we have rosary beads, or we light candles, or we join churches and go through rituals, or we start putting out flags in Easter time, and you have the different flags for the different weeks, that I don't know, understand any of that mess. I don't find anywhere in the Bible that talked about flags. We think that if we do certain things, or we have the Lord's Supper every week, that we're doing something, and that's spiritual and that's holy. God said, don't judge people based on those things. That's things that you do. That's tradition. Some of you do some things for Christmas. That's tradition. But did you know if you don't do those things, it's still Christmas?
Amen.
Did you know you don't have to celebrate Christmas on a certain day, or any holiday on a certain day? I can't tell you how many times I've celebrated Christmas or birthdays on a different day. Who cares? We're doing our Christmas the day before. Does that mean we didn't have Christmas? Now, wait a minute. Some people do certain things. Some people have certain foods that's traditional for them. But did you know what? Christmas goes on whether you have those things or not. Because we do not really do bad things, we think the good things we do must be okay. We trust our sincerity more than truth. We trust our tradition more than truth. We trust what we can see, not our faith. Everybody doing okay? God said we're to live by faith, not by sight. I said in my Sunday school class this morning, I'll say it in here. It went over so bad in there, I think I'll do it in here and make everybody mad. That right there, if I can get it out, has replaced faith. Credit card. Many of you trust Visa and MasterCard more than you do Jesus. Many of you trust your bank, your credit cards over living by faith. Maybe we need to start learning to live by faith and not by MasterCard and Visa.
Amen. Right.
Traditions. Four. By the way, there's people in this room, you'll go in debt and take the next 12 months to pay off Christmas because of tradition. Number four. Pass by that one fast. The rudiments of this world. The rudiments. That means the first or elemental steps of a process. The basics. Let me bring it down to where you would understand it. This is health and science. God says that the devil is going to use the rudiments of this world. The basic elements, the basic principles of health and science. Rudimentary. Watch this. We say we have recently seen it violated most in the last 3 years with something called COVID. The world is freaked out over disease. Don't get mad at me. COVID was real. A lot of people died with COVID, but not of COVID. There were more people that died with the flu than died of COVID. There's more people that died of heart failure and cancer than died with COVID. And just because you got it, do you realize the death rate was less than 0.3%? You have a better chance of dying in a car accident than you did of dying of COVID. That's the real facts. That's a worldwide fact. Look it up. Everybody doing all right? Wait a minute, to the point now where if somebody sneezes or coughs or wheezes, you know, it used to be you'd be in a store and somebody would sneeze or something. You said, God bless you. Now it's, get out of here! Cover! They look at you like you got the plague. Can I tell you something? You're not going to make it out of life alive anyway. Do you know that people got sick before COVID? Please don't get mad at me. It's truth. We have created a world health scare over a variant of a cold virus. SARS-CoV is the cold virus. It's hyped up in Wuhan, sponsored by Dr. Fauci and American money. These are your green people. You know, save the trees and save the whales and kill the babies. These are the save the earth. Oh, you got to go solar. Oh, we have to recycle. If you don't recycle, we're going to, you know, where's all that plastic going to go? It never decomposes. Well, you got it out of the same ground. You didn't get it from space. Everybody doing all right? I'm not saying it's wrong to recycle, but the world's not going to die and go to the booger man because you threw a plastic bottle in the trash. Well, it will never decompose. It didn't decompose out of the ground before they pulled it out of the ground. Where do you think they got the elements for the plastic? Everybody doing all right? Welcome to reality. Oh, we have to have clean, renewable energy. Yeah, it's called oil, coal, and nuclear.
Amen.
You know what the most efficient form of electricity is? Nuclear. Do you know what nuclear energy is? Steam.
Amen.
You use the nuclear rods to heat the water to make the steam to turn the turbines to give you electricity. But nuclear energy is so bad. It's steam power. Coal energy is steam power. You burn the coal to make the furnaces hot, to make the steam to turn the turbines.
Amen.
That's what electricity is. Oh, but it's so bad. Yeah, you wait till it's 10 degrees outside and you don't have heat because your solar panel got covered up.
Right.
Just ask Texas. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Coal and oil are not fossil fuels. You don't take a plant or an animal, kill it, and it turns into oil or coal. Turns to dirt.
Amen.
I don't care how tightly you squeeze it, how much pressure you put on it, it's not turning to oil.
Amen.
And if that's the case, how did the plants and oil and animals get that deep in the ground? When's the last time you saw dinosaurs 1,000 feet underground? Now, some of you are old enough to remember dinosaurs, right, Ellen? These four basic premises are what the devil uses to control the world. Philosophy, vain deceit, the rudiments of this world, and the traditions of men. Religion, government, politics, education, science, and media all formulate around these. Now, God's answers to this are in verses 13 through 20. I'm going to run through them. I have 2 minutes, and I'm not going to do it justice, but here we go. The very moment you bring God and the Bible, the King James Bible, the only real Bible, to the table, it wins the battle. That book right there conquers every bit of the world's philosophy, vain deceit, the rudiments of the world, etc., etc. Now, this is why Christianity is a truth, an absolute, not a philosophy. Christianity is not a philosophy. It is a truth.
Amen,
Confucianism is a philosophy. Buddhism is a philosophy. Shintoism is a philosophy. Muslimism is a philosophy. It is not based on truth. By the way, the Muslim religion is based on anger and hatred, not the love of truth. We need preachers, not philosophers. We need men of God, not Christian psychologists. I am sick up to here to where I want to vomit every time I hear a Baptist preacher say, well, I'm sending my folks to a Christian psychologist for help. A couple months ago, I talked to one of those yard birds. I said, do me a favor. He said, what? I said, quit your church and get an honest job. What happened to being a man of God and using the Bible? Well, they need professional help. I said, no, they need a pastor. Conversation ended very quickly. And I was happy. I ended it on purpose. We don't need philosophy and psychology. We need a man of God. I understand there are medications. People are biologically in need of some medications. It's rare, but it's there. I understand that. But it's not a psychological issue. It's a biological issue. Well, my daddy didn't take me to enough ball games when I was a kid, and I'm scarred. Quit blaming your mommy and daddy because you're a wimp. Ooh. Whiny baby. Christianity is based on a truth, not because your great-great-great-great-grandpa stubbed his toe and rubbed his head, and now he drinks whiskey, and everybody in the family's been an alcoholic. Everybody doing all right? No. You sin because you're a sinner. You choose to sin, not because somebody else made you do it. You don't have a bad attitude because somebody else has a bad attitude. You have a bad attitude because you're not right with God. That's what God said. That's the truth of it. That's why you don't like Christianity. Next, Calvary is more powerful than government. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. How did he do it? He conquered the government and the religion by Calvary. Come next Sunday morning, I'll educate you on that part of it. The lack of preaching and morality has given way for government and legislation to immorality. I don't blame the White House or the courthouse. I blame the church house. I blame sissy preachers with lace on their underwear who are afraid of the truth instead of standing up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, we don't want to, we want to be culturally accepted. I don't want to come out here with rainbow colored hair and look like I got in a fight with a tattoo parlor and a pop rivet gun just to, for people to come to church. Everybody doing all right? I don't want to look like I fell out of the Willy Wonka factory. If we don't say, "Thus saith the Lord," then it's going to be, "Thus saith the government." And look where we're at. Well, we've got a sickness and we want everybody to hibernate, or what are they, quarantine. And we watch churches close. Bless God, this church ain't going to close. If enough people get sick, we'll have church in the parking lot. But guess what? We're still having church. God didn't say, "Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner some is," unless everybody's sick. How about we go to obeying the Bible? By the way, I'd rather go to heaven by obedience to the Bible than stay on earth in disobedience to God. Number three, religious tradition has replaced Calvary. Religious tradition has replaced Calvary. God says that all those traditions were nailed to the cross, blotting it out. They were a shadow of the real thing to come. I have so much to say. I'm going to shut it down. Lastly, look at verse 18. Let no man beguile you through reward and a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. That's these preachers who preach on prophecy that say things that God doesn't even know. Talking about the mysteries of the Bible and, oh, this is what the big toe means and this is what's going to happen. And there's more people that know things about what's not in the Bible than they do with what's in the Bible. There are people more interested in what God didn't say about the Bible than those that God did say about the Bible. Oh, look at verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though you're living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why should we subject ourselves to the religions and the traditions and the rudiments, the philosophies and the powers of the world? Hey, how about we just decide we're going to obey God?
Amen.
Let's not get puffed up in our own knowledge and our own education and our own traditions and the rudiments of this world. How about we just decide we're going to obey God at all cost?
Amen.
Preacher, what if I get sick? You got sick before. You got sick when you were in the world. Guess what? You're going to get sick again. Everybody's going to get sick. That's what makes you well. Your immunity system is based on getting germs. People are sicker because they don't get out. That's why after everybody came out of quarantine, everybody got sick. They weren't exposed to germs. Those of us who stayed out in it the whole time, guess what? We didn't get as sick. That's a fact. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not telling you what you should do. I'm just telling you how the devil takes over the world. And the stage is set for Antichrist.
Yes,
sir. I said this 3 years ago. I'm saying it again. COVID was a precursor to Antichrist. I said it as it came out. He was finding out how much salt the world had. And he found out the salt lost its savor. We better be ready. You better get yourself ready. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to blow this popsicle stand. Bless the Lord, I'm ready. I wonder, are we going to be afraid of the rudiments of the world and the philosophies, and are we going to come subject to the devil, or are we going to obey God? I don't know about you, I'd rather obey God than man any day. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done, I got to crash land. I can go for another hour, but we're not going to. You get mad. Maybe we need to decide to trust the word of God. Maybe we need to not fall prey to the devil's tactics. I didn't say it. It's right there in Colossians 2. God exposed the devil's outline of controlling the world. Not just America, not just this area, the world.